الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created different emotions that are present within us. And those emotions, interestingly, are very strong drivers of what we do in this life. But many of those same emotions will actually exist in the hereafter as well. And some of those emotions also get expressed in the grave. And that's something that's kind of interesting because many of our bodily functions, they disappear when a person goes to the grave. A person's going to go to the grave, they're not going to be worried about eating. They're not going to be worried about drinking. But some of the emotions that a person has are perpetual in the sense that they perpetuate into the grave and they will also be present in the akhirah as well. For example, and the one that we're going to talk a little bit about today before we move on to the dhikr, one emotion that's present within all of us is a sense of regret. Everyone experiences it. And it is a very strong driver for the way in which we behave. For example, typically as a person gets older, they regret the way they spent their youth. And one of the very strong emotions that drives a parent to guide their children is the fact that they regret the way they spent their youth. And because of that regret, they hope that they'll be able to let their children avoid that regret. For example, individual didn't do very well in school, didn't pay attention in school, begins to get older, thinks back to their youth and says, you know, I should have really focused when I was young, I didn't. And then they begin to remind their children as they get older, you know, you really need to study, you have to study, you have to study. And then if they turn to their parents and say, well, did you study? You know, the answer is no, I didn't do what I should have done, but that's why I'm telling you what you should focus on studies. So it's a very strong feeling that arises in a person, for example, as they age. Similarly, you'll see that people have a lot of regret when they make a purchase and they find out that that purchase wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Somebody spends $30,000 on a car, it's a used car, and then it turns out to be not what they were expecting. There's a lot of regret. Oh, you know, I wish I would have never bought this car. I should not have gotten involved in this business transaction. You see, people will buy shares in a company or people will start, you know, join a business venture. They lose all their money. They become very sensitive to losing money because they have a very deep sense of regret. It's human nature. Human beings are designed to regret certain actions. Now, the reason for that emotion, or one of the benefits, let's say, one of the benefits of that emotion is that it helps an individual also make decisions relevant to the hereafter. And this is a very important feature of a Muslim. Muslims recognize that everything that Allah provides is an opportunity. And if not expended in a way that is going to lead to benefit in the hereafter, it will be a great source of regret. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us time. Time is a big blessing. Time is a big blessing. Everybody in this room has time. Now, we can take that time and we can spend it on, you know, foolish games. And we will regret in this life, and we will definitely regret in the hereafter. You see, anybody who wastes their time, they look back at their life, you know, 10 years before, and they say, oh my God, I wasted 10 years doing what? What was I wasting my time doing? If they get any sense, as they age, everybody looks back at the prior decade and says, I wasted it. Somebody looks back at their, when they're 20, they look back at what, let's say they're 30, you need a little bit of maturity. You're 30, you look back, what did I do when I was 20? I wish I would have done A, B, C. What did I do? I wasted all that time. I can't even think, what did I do when I was 20? When a person's 50, they look back on 30, they say, what did I do with my time? I wasted it. And the biggest regret of how time is expended, the biggest regret will be when a person gets to the grave and eventually on the day of judgment. Because once a person gets to the grave, then they're going to say, oh man, I had that time, I could have done this, this, this. Look at the reality, look at the consequences. I misused my opportunity, and now what am I left with? I'm left with nothing. You know, like somebody has a lot of money, they go and they blow it on this, 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 and this, and then at the end they're like, man, I had $1 million, but I blew it on all this garbage, now I'm regretting. It's the same way, because everybody in this room is a millionaire. Time-wise, every person in this room has time. And time can be converted into reward. Time is the currency. Time is the currency of the hereafter. All a person has to do is take their time and do something beneficial with it. Allah multiplies it, gives them a reward in the grave, and gives them a reward in the hereafter. Now, what happens when a person goes into the grave? What's the first statement that they make? And subhanAllah, the Quran captures it for us. The Quran actually tells us what's going to happen to every person when they go into the grave. They're going to say, in fact, it's quoted, قَالْ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh, my Lord, return me. That's the statement everyone's going to make. Oh, my Lord, return me. Return me to what? Return me to my life. Why? So that I could do good deeds. And the Quran continues with this in the next ayah. So that I can do good deeds. So what does that mean? It means that the moment the person hits death and gets into the grave, the first emotion, I mean, there'll be a lot of emotions, one of the initial emotions, regret. Man, I had that opportunity. I wish I could go back. That's called regret, right? When I wish I could go back and do something different, that's a major, it's basically, that's an expression of regret. Major feeling immediately when a person gets into the grave, I wish I could go back and I could do the things that I was supposed to do. Now you think about it. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us time, and we're literally playing puppets with this time. Like, you know, he said, she said, he came, she came, he went, she went. It's just a game. It's a total game. We just get caught up in this big show. And we actually think there's reality to it, but we're just like riding in water and grabbing at sand. There's nothing to take, and there's nothing that's going to be left on the surface of that water when we're done. The only way that a person can make their time valuable is if they attach an intention of Allah's name to that time. And if they attach an intention of Allah's name to that time, and they do the things which the deen teaches us to do, then they will not regret that period of time that was spent in that way. Everything else will be a sort of regret. Now, today it seems real. Oh, you got this, man, I got that, I'm going to buy this, you're going to buy that. Oh, you went there, and she went here, and he knows this person, and he knows that person, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to get this, and I'm going to do that. And it seems so real. But it's just like playing with toys. It's not even playing with toys. At least playing with toys, there's actually some physical thing there. It's a complete mirage. It's a complete game. It's totally fake. It's purposely designed. It's purposely designed to test every one of us. Where do we put our time? And it's every aspect of our existence is the same way. Every aspect of our existence is the same way. You think about the wealth that we have, it's just paper. It's a bunch of little coins and a bunch of paper. And we make such a big deal out of it. We use it to differentiate one another, to think that we own something, to think that there's something in my name, to think that I have some degree of power, that I can actually do certain things, that I can buy some this and I can buy some that. But the reality is that every single penny that is not spent in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a major source of regret for us, starting at the grave and on the day of judgment. Because look, you could look at the differential. It's not even like you can compare. You know, it's not like I'm buying a Tesla versus a, I don't know, pick another car, versus a Lamborghini or whatever people would buy, you know, against a Tesla. You're buying garbage versus the Akhirah. Everything is garbage except the Akhirah. And nothing lasts except the Akhirah. There's nothing that anybody in this room could go out and buy today that would actually provide them with benefit in the hereafter unless it was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You take a dollar and you feed a poor person, it will feed us on the day of judgment. You take a few dollars and you invest it in some, you know, path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will result in a great blessing for us on the day of judgment. In fact, you know, the statement is, the only thing that remains is that which was spent for Allah. Like you see that, oh, I have $500 in my account. I take $100 and I spend it on some fi sabilillah, I feed a poor person, whatever it might be. You think I spent $100. No, that's the actual $100 that was saved. Because that's what's going to be multiplied and that's what's going to be returned in our account on the hereafter. And I guarantee you there will be no person in this room except they will wish that they spent every penny that they had once they see that type of reward. So we have the, you know, like they say hindsight's 20/20. The reason that people who get older express regret is because they went through life and they understand the reality of what it means to be 20 versus 30, 30 versus 40, 40 versus 50, etc. They understand that these are the things that actually mean something and these are the things that don't mean anything. They understand the superficiality of life versus that which is real. But they're still merely expressing regret about the life that we live. None of these people, the elders, etc., none of them have gone to the grave. But guaranteed, if they were in the grave, that regret would be exponential. It wouldn't even be measurable. It would be immeasurable compared to the regret that people feel in this life. So when we, as human beings and as believers and as people who have been given so many resources, when we have those resources, the only way to take advantage of those resources and to make them a source of benefit for us so that we don't regret in the hereafter is to expend them in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the resource is, every second will be regretted if not used. Now, I mean, subhanAllah, just think about it this way. You don't need to listen to my words. Listen to the words of the Prophet alayhi salam. The Prophet ﷺ says that on the day of judgment, after all the judgment's done, there will be no person who will have any regret in Jannah. Why? Because in Jannah, you are so overwhelmed with blessings that it's not possible to regret. Right? It wouldn't be possible to regret because a person would be so overwhelmed with all these magnificent blessings that it's not even a possibility that a person would have regret. Except one thing. The person who said, and the example given, the person who said one more subhanAllah, that person will be looked upon with regret by the person who said one less subhanAllah, because the reward differential between even one subhanAllah will be so extreme that it will cause regret in people. Meaning, if you were a person who said subhanAllah 9,000 times, and another person said subhanAllah 9,001 time, that one extra time would be so measured that people will have regret. So really, what is that saying? That's saying that the time not spent in the dhikr of Allah will be a source of regret on the day of judgment. Why? Because whatever else we do, it's complete nothing compared to the dhikr of Allah. Unless it was already ordained by the deen. In which case, it becomes something worthy of doing and it has its own reward associated with it. I mean, honestly, just think about this. We know we're going to be crying. We're going to be crying in our graves. You just think. Just think about today. Okay? Just think about today and pull up your device and ask your device to tell you how much time a person spent on their screen today. Just let the device tell you. In fact, the device will pop it up. You spent this much time on the screen. I guarantee you it's not minutes. It's not going to be, oh, you spent 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes or 4 minutes or 4.5 minutes. It's going to be hours. You spent 4 hours and, you know, 7 minutes and 43 seconds. This is 10% more than you did yesterday or last week or however these programs are designed to tell you. It's on the level of hours. It's on the level of hours, which basically means, because I can tell you that the vast majority of this is complete foolishness and play, unless you happen to be in some position of power that you have to make decisions for all of humanity or something. It's all, the vast majority of it, aside from just maybe a handful of minutes, is complete waste of time play. And all of that is being logged against us on the Day of Judgment. Not that it's logged against us to the extent that it's going to be some sort of like sin. It may be, depending on what a person's doing. But certainly it's going to be an opportunity cost and a source of regret. Certainly it's going to be an opportunity cost and a source of regret. Because it means that we have that much time that we could have used to engage ourselves with the word of Allah. Meaning we spent time reading the word of all these people. Religiously we're reading this blog, this text, this site, you know, shopping for this thing, looking at that, listening to that, reading this news. All that time could have been spent connecting ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But instead, we spent it on A, B, C, D. And that's all going to be a source of regret. Now, we could wake up today and see what we've been told. You know, we could look at what our deen tells us, and it is warning us in 2020 hindsight to tell us that every single moment that we don't spend in the path of Allah is a moment that we have wasted. The same goes with our money. Now, unfortunately, you know, time is like the most valuable thing, and time is, the thief of time is constantly taking our time every day. It's really, really, that's all it is. You know, it's like you have this one beautiful gift that Allah created you and gave you time. You have to understand, when every second that we're present, there are billions of processes that are involved for maintaining us in the state that we're in. Our digestive system is working, our brains, our neurons are firing, there's all this metabolic activity going on in every cell. There are literally billions and billions of reactions that are constantly occurring in order for us to exist as we are. So who are we for even a moment to turn away from Allah? Who are we for even a moment to turn away from Allah? And we think that it's so important to read A, B, C, D, spend this many hours on this, spend this many hours on that. We should ask ourselves the question, what are we doing with our time? And is it going to be a source of regret for us on the Day of Judgment? I mean, you ask this, we can each ask this question to ourselves. It's not something that, you know, we need to give a lecture on. Ask ourselves the question, you know, how am I using my time, and how can I maximize on the not being, not it not becoming a source of regret for me on the Day of Judgment? Same thing with our wealth. Same thing with our wealth. We're filling ourselves constantly to the extent that we get sick. We eat so much that we get sick. That's literally medicine. I'm telling you, I'm in medicine. 70% of medicine is abusing ourselves. Literally, we eat so much, we get sick. You know, we sit around so much, we get sick. We take in too much into our brains, we get sick. That's a whole other type of illness. It's all mental illnesses. Today, they haven't yet fully, you know, elucidated what's causing all of it, but it's basically this. It's the craziness in the world constantly being absorbed by our eyes and our minds, and we're not able to handle it. So all of these things are going to be a source of regret for us. All of these things are going to be a source of regret for us. The food that we have, the resources that we have, all of these are meant as an opportunity to test us, to see how we use it in order to earn a real reward. And what are we earning instead? We're earning like stomach ache, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, type 2 diabetes. Here's your result. You know, this is all you ate, and this is basically the result. I mean, it's like obvious to the person who can see it, and it's only going to be worse when we get to the hereafter. Now, these things are going to pass anyway. And you can see that even the companions, you know, it's so interesting. The companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, they, like, you take the, I was just reading the example of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. You know, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu obviously participated in all of the great battles of Islam. Everybody knows this, right? Major companion, participated in all the great battles of Islam. And he used to make dua, O Allah, make me a shaheed and let me be buried in Medina. O Allah, make me a shaheed and let me be buried in Medina. Now, people used to wonder, how can he be a shaheed and be buried in Medina? Medina, at that time, Medina was the bastion of Islam. There's no way. I mean, the borders were so expanded, it didn't make sense to anybody. How can he become a shaheed but be buried in Medina? If you're going to be a shaheed, you're going to be out at the far border of the empire at that time. Or if you're going to be buried in Medina, you're going to die in Medina. And so, obviously, we all know that he was, you know, eventually killed by someone and he became a shaheed and he was buried in Medina. But it's so interesting to hear his desire to be a shaheed all the way till, you know, even after all of the sacrifices that he had made. Why? Because you just think about it. He has to die anyway. So for him, it was like worthless to die a natural death because of the reward and the opportunity cost and the regret of not having been martyred as a shaheed. That was the reason why he made that statement. And subhanAllah, that's exactly what happened. I mean, companions, you have to think about it this way. What I'm trying to get at, maybe I'll simplify this a little bit. What I'm trying to say is that they even saw their death as an opportunity cost. They didn't want to just die a regular death because it would just be nothing associated with it. They wanted to be a shaheed because of the rewards associated with the shaheed. So they saw every single aspect of themselves as an opportunity to submit it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to be able to earn the maximum reward possible so that there would be no regret. They were the ultimate investors. They were the ultimate investors. You know, person makes a good investment, then they think, I should have put all my money in it. I would have tripled it. I feel bad. It's funny, person makes a good investment, they make a good return, then you ask them, how are you happy with your business transaction? They say, no, I have a lot of regret, brother. Why do you have a lot of regret? I should have put all my money. I would have put all my money, it would have all, you know, tripled. So even the person who makes money still has a regret at the end because they know that they had other resources that they call it leaving it on the table. I shouldn't have left anything on the table. And we are the same way. Allah has given us time. No person in this room can make a complaint that they don't have time. Allah has given time. The question is how we use it. I mean, it's a whole nother discussion, how we maximally get ourselves to do it. I know it's not easy to sit there and tell yourself, I need to use my time wisely. We need the appropriate environment that allows us to be able to do that. But still the point remains, at least we should have the sense to ask the question every day, Allah give me 24 hours, what did I do with it? At least we should have that sense. Same with our wealth. Wealth comes in, wealth goes out. Wealth comes in, wealth goes out. The community is so wealthy. This community is so wealthy. Every person in this room is wealthy. Now you might say, I'm in debt, this and that. Yeah, but you live like a king. Everybody lives like a king. I mean, there's air conditioner, there's heater, there's refrigeration, there's any type of food that a person wants. You go to the grocery store, you get so confused, you know, which one, what should I get this? There's 10 different spaghettis, there's this, that. I can't make sense of it. This is how kings did not live like this. Kings did not live like this. Everybody's living, you know, many people in America, and most people in this room are living a very advanced lifestyle, which many of the people of the past, despite their wealth, would never have been able to dream of. And so the question is, even in that backdrop, we have resources that we're able to spend or expend on others that would allow us to not regret the day of judgment. So this is one of the beauties of deen. You know, we don't have to guess. It's like you have to get, when you're 40, you say, I didn't know, I was 20, nobody told me. Even if people told me, I didn't have the sense to listen. Nobody in this room has that excuse. I don't, you don't. The Prophet ﷺ told us. We know, the Quran tells us, that the only thing of value is that to which Allah's name is attached. The time that we spend, if we spend it for the sake of Allah, it becomes something that will be beneficial to us in this world and the next. And if we waste it, then we're just playing with dolls and trinkets. Literally, it's just playing with dolls and trinkets. You know, you look at little kids, you laugh that they make such a big deal, this car, that car, this doll, that doll. Think, what are these kids thinking? When they grow up, they're going to see this was just nothing. Same way, every time a person advances a decade, they go back and they say it was nothing. You know, I can sit here and tell you the story of the 1977 NBA Finals. Nobody in this room is going to care. What are you talking about, 1977 NBA Finals? Did they even play back then? You know, nobody's going to care. But I can tell you in 1977, all the people were sitting like this, you know, watching, dying, wishing they could be there. They were so into it. They knew all the stats. It doesn't lend to anything in the end. 1977 Finals, who remembers it? You know, yeah, so there's 2020 Finals, but in another 30 years, who's going to remember it? In fact, I will tell you, nobody's even going to remember our names. Forget about the Finals. Give it another 50 years, 100 years when we're all gone. Nobody's going to remember any of us. Be lucky if your kids even remember, you know, your kids even remember who the grandparents, the kids even remember who the grandparents were. Even the kids themselves will barely remember who we are. You know, and then eventually you go one, two generations, time erases everything. Anybody with any sense, who has any ability to look at the past, completely is able to appreciate one thing very quickly, which is that we are going to be completely wiped away. Everybody in this room will be wiped away. There'll be no remembrance of who you were. There'll be no remembrance of what you did. There'll be no remembrance of the wealth that you had. There'll be no remembrance of the things that you thought were important. The only thing that's going to matter is what you took to the grave. Because what you took to the grave will be with you. And the only one that's going to have a record is going to be Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will completely remember everything, that will have captured everything that we did, even though we ourselves forget. Honestly, shouldn't be shocked, but if people are shocked that nobody's going to remember me, you don't even remember, we don't even remember ourselves. If I ask you, what did you do when you were 10 years old? Ask anybody to stand up in this room, what did you do when you were 10 years old? Maybe you can tell me three things, maybe five. When I was 10, nobody remembers. When you're 40, 50, 60, nobody remembers what they did when they were 20. Maybe they can tell you one big thing. I went to eighth grade or whatever it was, whatever class they were in. Maybe they remember four or five major things. We're not designed to be permanent. We're not designed to last. All of the things that we think are so important, they're not. None of them are. Nobody will remember. We don't remember ourselves. Our family members will forget. The people after us won't even know we existed. It will be as if we'd never even walked on this planet. But what will matter is the opportunity that Allah gave us and how we leverage that in order to earn something in the hereafter. That will matter. That will definitely matter. That will be the only thing that will matter. So if we have time, every moment of that time should be expended to advance the name of Allah. Listen very carefully. Because this is a warning. It's a warning to me. It's a warning to you. Every single moment, we need to use it to advance the name of Allah in whatever capacity that is. And that is not a one-size-fits-all remedy. Every person in this room has a different skill, has a different ability. Allah created us all different. But every person has time, and they need to use that to advance the name of Allah in whatever way, shape, or form so that that time gets converted to gold. Everything else is dust. Every person in this room, either now or eventually, will have access to some degree of wealth. And the only wealth that lasts is the wealth that is spent in the name of Allah. Every person in this room has energy, has desires, has resources available to them. And the only thing that will mean anything to all of us will be that which is expended in the name of Allah. So it's better that we not be among those who regret in our graves and in the hereafter. And anytime there's regret in anything that we do in this life, we should ask the question immediately. No, it's good to feel regret, but it should be used to take a person to the next stage. You know, if I miss something and I regret it, everybody says, oh man, I went to the mall yesterday and everything was on sale for a penny. Oh man, I wish I was there. You should have called me. I would have been there first thing, you know? But the time that we experience regret, the first thing to say is to pinch ourselves and say, wait a minute. It doesn't matter. I didn't miss anything. Because even if I would have been at the mall, I would have picked up a bunch of garbage for a penny apiece. All that stuff would have ended up in the trash eventually anyway. But I need to catch myself here because the akhirah, all the beautiful bounties of the akhirah are available to me for less than a penny. Always. So I need to now take that emotion and leverage it to produce something real. And that's the beauty of, that's the summation of deen, that there is a day of judgment, that there is one Allah, that this one Allah it has created us for a purpose, and that we are absolutely 1,000,000% bound to this Lord, and that we are his servants, and therefore we behave in the way that he would want us to behave. And the beauty of that is that in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us blessings in this life and gives us a permanent reward in the hereafter. It's not a simple, complex equation. You don't have to, I know life is very complex, but the beauty of deen is very simple. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Simple, simple. There's one Allah and all of the few consequences that arise from that, and you want to achieve success, follow the path of Rasulullah. And that's the opportunity and challenge that befalls all of us. So it's better that we just clear our minds of all this garbage. Stop getting deceived by the things that apparently matter. You know, everybody runs this way, so we run this way. Then everybody runs that way, so now we start running that way. Then everybody's screaming behind us. We're turning around to figure out what's going on behind us. Forget about it. Forget about it. This is just the people up and down. This is the way they play the game. This is the way the news is designed. It's designed that every day they hook you onto the next thing. None of it matters. It has some consequence. It has some consequence historically. Fine, there's some major events that occur. But for the most part, the vast amount of this doesn't matter. You go on like the news on the cell phone, and they tell you news about this person and that person and this person and that person and this person said this and this person went there. And you're just thinking, what are they talking about? Like, who even cares? Do people really care about this stuff? It's just complete foolishness. And we're like caught up in it. We read about it. We think about it. Oh my God, this, that. It's just a complete waste of time. We are here for a limited period of time. We have a purpose. We've been forewarned. All of this beauty that we see around us, this is all a sign of something much greater. The fact that this whole thing integrates, this whole universe integrates with itself, the sun rises and sets, the rain comes and falls, the plants grow and pass away and then regrow every spring, all of the intricate nature that exists around us and the interconnected features that are present within it are all a sign pointing to one thing, that there is an Allah. And that this Allah is not is in control of everything, and we know that this is the same Allah that is capturing everything that we do and say, and that this is the one that will reward us on the day of judgment. So we shouldn't get caught up in the craziness that exists around us. And the world has gone crazy, crazy. Nobody knows what they're spending their time in anymore. There's a few people, they manage to use their time in a wise way, but they themselves are trapped in the web of this world and all the noise that people make and all the talking heads and all the talk and all the, it's just too much. So we have been forewarned. It's a blessing upon us that Rasulullah has given us such clarity. We should not be amongst those who, lose our sense of direction. Because if we lose our compass, then if we can't manage with the guidance of the Prophet and the beauty of the Quran in front of us, then how can we expect anybody else in the world to be able to fall into the appropriate position? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to use the resources and the blessings that He's bestowed upon us in order to attain the maximum reward from His ultimate mercy. Then may He protect us from the great and deep regret that will exist in the grave and the great and deep regret that will exist in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.